Hey, Mike.
Hi, Caleb. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I feel like I may have hit peak enthusiasm a little bit early in the show here.
That's all right. People like it.
I'll dial it back down to normal here.
No. What are you drinking tonight?
Tonight, hopefully this is not any ominous sign, but I am drinking a cocktail called a Deathbed. Not
First
claiming
time.
Anyone is on their deathbed. It just happened to be one that I could make and was using some of the excess limes that I have. This is kind of a tiki type drink out of the PDT book. We've got a couple of different rums, some cherry herring, some pineapple juice, and some lime.
All right.
Yeah, it's quite nice. How about you?
Well, I am recording on location in a hotel room, and so my options were quite limited. Didn't have my bar, and I didn't have one of those cool airplane cocktail kits that I saw you had.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Should have brought that. But so I'm having a Blue Moon Belgian white beer.
Oh, God. Fake craft beer.
I know. But it's still...
Shed a tear.
Should I have gotten the Miller Lite?
I don't know. At least that's a little more honest about what it is.
Okay. Well.
Anyways, I'm just happy that you're not still drinking beers out of your last mini bar stash.
That's true. Yeah.
Who knows how long this stash will last.
They don't have mini bars in this hotel, so this is directly from the hotel bar.
Ah, I see.
Snuck up to my room. So today, I thought we could talk. We haven't recorded for a little bit, but the quarterly deliveries and production numbers came out, and it was a big one because we had July 1st. Elon came out and tweeted 7,000 cars in 7 days, and so going into this period, there was still a lot of debate whether or not Tesla would hit their 5,000 Model 3s per week target, because if we remember, in the last quarterly earnings call and letter, they said we target around 5,000 cars in around 3 months.
Just to clarify terms here, I feel like you said cars and Model 3s. So the 7,000 is not Model 3s. The 7,000 is all Teslas.
Yes.
Is that okay?
The 7,000 is all Tesla. So there are 5,000 Model 3s and then 2,000 S and X. The precise numbers were 5,031 Model 3s, 1,913 Model S's and X's. They just combine those two together now. They don't break them out.
And so when you say 7,000, is that a like a peak number that they managed to like hit as like a sprint, or is that the... Is that more of like a ratcheting up of their run rate, where now their run rate is 7,000 a month?
Right. So the 7,000 is definitely not what they had been doing the entire period, because if we look at the total number of Model 3s produced, so let me step back. S and X was pretty consistent. They've been producing around 2,000 of those per week for a while now. So S and X really hasn't been an issue. There was certainly a concern that potentially they would steal capacity in terms of people from those lines and potentially not be able to make as many S's and X's as they have in the past. So while they might sort of rob Peter to pay Paul sort of situation, they did actually hit that 5,000 in the last 7 days. And if we remember back to the last quarter, they exited at 2,000. At the end, the last 7 days. So they certainly have increased their ability to produce vehicles in a 7 day period. But then if you also look at their sort of average for the 12 weeks in the quarter, if you look at Q1, the Model 3 rate was 813, assuming no shutdowns in the full 7 days weeks. But just for comparison's sake, 813 compared to Q2 Model 3 rate was a sustained on average 2,381. So that's 3x more average run rate. So I think you can have a high amount of confidence that they have actually reached both a new level of sort of normal production and also throughout the quarter continue to increase their capacity and ability to produce. And so I think we can expect in this upcoming quarter that they may actually be pretty close to 4,000, 5,000 average for the week, because they're actually shooting for 6,000 for their next sort of burst target. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I think this is actually really good news. So a lot of the sentiment going into the delivery report was that maybe Tesla would do 4,000, 4,500 bursts, that they probably weren't going to hit the 5,000 number. And so one, they did hit that number, which is sort of a good internal milestone for a lot of reasons, which we can hit on. And then the other important thing is that the actual number of vehicles produced was 53,339 vehicles, which was a 55% increase from the first quarter. So just like 55% increase in quarter over quarter is like a meaningful amount, right? Like if they had tried to really mess with the numbers and only produce 5,000 at the last week, but had only been producing a few hundred per week previously, like some of the shorts seem to believe Tesla is like totally moon landing kind of problem, this whole situation, that we wouldn't have been able to have that many vehicles produced. And so 3X overall, but then if you look just at Model 3, they actually made more Model 3s than S and X combined. And they made pretty much three times as many Model 3s in this quarter than they did last quarter. So 3X the total volume of Model 3s in a quarter is pretty impressive improvement. So I'm actually pretty impressed with that total number of Model 3s that were produced. They didn't deliver all those, and so that's another indication that not only did they produce a lot of them towards the back part of the quarter, but they may actually have still been sort of doing some manipulation to increase the likelihood that customers would get the tax credit, because they only delivered 40,740 vehicles. And so they had like 11,000 Model 3s en route at the end of the quarter. So those
seems
11,
like a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. So those 11,000 Model 3s are all going to count towards Q3's delivery numbers. So not only is Q3 going to have a huge number of Model 3s in the normal rate, plus they're going to have 11,000 juicing the beginning and 4,000 Model S's and X's. So I think Q3 is going to be a really strong delivery quarter. So that's going to be really good.
If their new run rate, though, is like 7,000 a week and increasing, then after, you know, 13 weeks of that, an extra 10 or 11,000 is not going to actually make that much of a difference.
Well, the interesting thing is I don't think they will actually. So the real steady state from Model 3 is this 2,381, which is what they were doing for the whole quarter. So if they could double that again, they would get close to the 5,000 a week steady state. So that's what I think they really should be. We would want to look for is because their new target is only exiting at 6,000. Like their stretch goal now is 6,000 for the end of the week. So, or the end of the end of the quarter.
Oh, so they're only going to increase capacity by 1,000 cars a week over the course of the entire quarter.
Right. But the important thing is they want to have a higher sustained rate. So instead of around 2,400 a week like they had this quarter, could they actually sustain around 5,000 a week? Yeah. So that's what we'll really want to pay attention to next quarter is what was that average amount per week and for Model 3 production. Because if they really just sort of pulled out all the stops, got like all the parts lined up, you know, on day 8, like in advance, or day -1, I guess, like all the motors, make a lot of bodies in advance and just sort of have everything ready. And then they kind of just sort of assembled everything really quickly on that last 7 days. Then that would be sort of cheating in a way because it wasn't steady state. So it'll be interesting to see, can they produce that at a constant rate or are they like pulling out all the stops? And right. I think that's, I expect certainly they were doing some of that, like obviously otherwise they would have been able to do that sooner. So I don't think it was like an accident that the last day they hit 5,000 for that previous 7 days. But the question is, what would they have done if they weren't going as nuts? And was it, would that be 4,500 or would that have been 3,000?
Yeah.
So that's a real big question because it's going to impact sentiment pretty dramatically. Because if they can't sustain that, people are really going to start doubting their ability to make this at a profitable level, because back on some of the previous earnings calls, Elon and Deepak had really sort of indicated that the 5,000 vehicle per week level for Model 3 is really when it starts to become profitable for them, where the costs of running the lines and the staff for production really starts to make sense, and potentially even some of the unit costs for the parts. They may start getting price breaks on different part batches. So 5,000 has always been, for the past like 7 or 8 months, a really important milestone. And so now if they can actually sustain it, they do have a chance for Q3 to actually be profitable, even like excluding some of the tax credit stuff, like the ZEV credits.
Even outside of just Tesla's profitability, I feel like there's also the looming greater market concerns of every quarter longer it takes them to ramp up is another quarter that the other auto manufacturers have to catch up to them, or, you know, to advance their electric programs, or, you know, we're starting to creep closer and closer to, you know, Jaguar's stuff is coming out. Volvo's going all, like, the year that Volvo has declared they're going all electric is getting closer and closer. That, like, you know, the rest of the industry, while Tesla does have a lead, it's not an infinite lead. And the longer it takes them to get up to speed, the more time they're giving everyone else to catch up to them.
Right, absolutely. And certainly from a perception point of view, I mean, Elon wanted to be here at the end of December last year. Yeah. And so I think they have, like, this target they hit, they got really close to the 2,500 target they had last quarter. And now they're sort of saying, we want to get to 6,000 by the end of this month, but they haven't given guidance for the next big range. The only real indication we have is that they have to the best of my knowledge now, there are 2 general assembly lines for Model 3, and it's interestingly named, and I see a lot of people get confused about this, and I'm like 85% confident I'm correct, that GA3 is the first Model 3 production line, and then GA4 is that new sprung structure, the tent that they built.
The parking lot tent.
Right. And that GA1 and GA2 are actually for Model S and X. That there aren't 3 general assembly lines for Model 3. It's actually that they have GA3, which was the third one they built, which is for Model 3, and then they've now built this fourth one. And the reason I say that is that Elon has said that GA3 alone can reach a production rate of 5,000 Model 3s per week, but the GA4 helped them get there faster and will help them exceed that rate. So if they expected the GA3 was going to be able to do that full 5,000, they're not talking about some other line that was helping them get to 5,000. So there's no way there are 3 Model 3 production lines, like some people are indicating. And I think a lot of the short sellers and some of the people who are attacking Tesla are trying to say, look, they have 3 production lines for Model 3. Now they have 4, and they can only do 5,000 vehicles. So that's kind of bollocks. And the other piece is that the tent structure only did around 20% of the vehicles in the last week. And so it wasn't really a material contributor. So they use that sort of as a crutch to get to that 5,000. But if they're building that to also do 5,000 or somewhere close, it does seem like their next target of that 10,000 Model 3s per week, which we've heard about in the past but hasn't really been talked about recently, it's unclear if they're going to keep that out in that sprung structure, because that's a temporary structure. I mean, it's not permitted to be permanent. So that'll be interesting. I mean,
given the weather in Fremont, though, you could actually have a year-round tent structure.
But yeah, that's what's interesting, is it totally could be. And so maybe they can just get permission. But if they did that, and they've said that GA4 is like pretty reasonable, if that could really do multiple thousands of vehicles, they may be able to get to 8,000 or so without building another full one in the factory. So I'm actually really curious what they're going to talk about in terms of production line and targets in the next earnings call, because they'll be a month in, and it's going to be about August, and they're saying that they want to get to 6,000 Model 3s by the end of August. So we'll probably have like a full 4 weeks of Model 3 production, where they'll be able to tell us if they actually have been producing around 5,000 a week. So that'll be a really strong sign. And just again, like, if you look at the production ramp curves and charts of all the Model 3s. Like, they're in the first quarter they started delivering Model 3s, I think they delivered like 260 in a 3-month period. And then it was like a low number of thousands. So now they're going to be delivering like 20, 30, 40,000 Model 3s. It's just like an absolute large number of vehicles now. And so those early months are just totally dwarfed by a week of production. It's just kind of boggles the mind, actually, how those curves work. And so now it's just like, it stinks that they've taken this long to get there, but 5,000 Model 3s a week is a lot of vehicles coming off the line. And I think that's why Elon feels so ebullient about all this, because he's just like, even in his letters to the employees saying like, I think we just became a real car company, that this has been the thing they've really been striving for, which is, you know, a little funny to say for the past, you know, decade plus, you haven't been a real car company, but it is a major milestone to be now making more Model 3s than S's and X's in an entire quarter, and you're not even fully ramped up. Like, next quarter is going to be bonkers.
Hopefully.
Yeah, in a good way. I mean, I don't really think, we haven't heard about issues with product, like suppliers. Like, that's really never been described. We've heard issues with general assembly. We've heard about some issues with the paint shop. But those were really described, you know, in some leaked emails over the past month or two, but they did materially increase their production. Like, I don't think there's any way you can doubt that they increased their steady state at least 3x. And to improve anything 3x in 3 months, even, you know, from a few thousand vehicles, like, when they were struggling to make a couple hundred per week, like, this is a really big improvement. And even smaller relative percentage changes are going to be large numbers of absolute vehicles, which at this point makes a really big impact on their finances.
All of that is good. I mean, obviously, there's always the caveat that it's behind schedule or behind prediction. But, you know, leaving that aside, at least it is actually happening. I think as an outside observer and not a Tesla shareholder, what would concern me if I were a Tesla shareholder is all the peripheral stuff going on, the Elon, the CEO having to come to the factory, the like executive turnover, it just seems weird to me. Maybe you can come up with alternate explanations for this, but I was trying to think of this yesterday as I was walking around, like the CEO coming to the factory and that being, you know, assuming that is actually what was the catalyst for the turnaround and not just a coincidence. What concerns me about that is, like, you know, Elon's not a manufacturing guru with, you know, decades of manufacturing experience, right? So he's not like coming in and personally fixing everything. So like, is he just there as like the CEO decision maker, and it's like just cutting through bureaucracy where like previously decisions couldn't be made and the right people couldn't get the right information up the chain or whatever, and that like Tesla, even though it is a young company, was like so bureaucratic that it was like stagnating their ability to manufacture. I'm trying to think of like, what was Elon's function as part of this like kind of ramping? Do you have any sort of like take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is feasible that Elon going to particular parts of the production line that are having bottlenecks and talking those issues out with the team, even if the ideas are coming from the team, that it just is a forcing function to actually solve the problem faster and perhaps give permission to try things that are slightly ridiculous. Like, one example he gave in one of the emails he sent was like, they air freighted a production line overseas. And it may not have been possible for the person who needed that production line or even subsystems of that production line to have gotten approval to airlift that thing. Like, it probably would have been way too expensive. And or getting on the phone with the supplier to be like, look, we need you to airlift this, and like, you got to do it. And so I do think there are some things that like Elon as a CEO and Elon as Elon could have an impact on. But I certainly don't think he could be like making all the bits go faster. And so the way that he's described it in the past and the way that I think he could have some impact is like at any point, there is one or two parts of the system that are slowing everything else down, right? There's like bottlenecks and the rest of the system gets backed up. And so him going and spending time with those teams that are working on that area, even if it just is pressure, it gets those people to focus on trying to solve those problems and potentially offer solutions that only he can authorize. So not even like bureaucratic, just like cost or like craziness or risk, assuming risk for things that might not work, that you might not feel comfortable advocating for or putting in place. And so I do think that's possible, where I don't think that really works in software, but I do think it would be possible with some of these physical things. And also a lot of things he was talking about were like engineering challenges where he can possibly steal engineers from other parts of the company to help solve problems where there may not have been, those teams may not know those people or be able to have access to them and just sort of slowly, silently fail and like not hit those targets. So I think it's possible. I'd be very curious if any of our listeners have had experiences with Elon in the factory, because there were certainly anecdotes of him like being on the line, like actually tightening bolts. And to your point, I don't think that's really making a big difference except for like morale, maybe. But actually solving bottlenecks and engineering problems, that seems plausible.
I guess what I come back to there, though, like even if that is the case, that seems like an indictment of the team and structures that were in place beforehand. That you know, at some point Elon's going to leave, and then what happens after that? Like, you know, obviously the things that popped up in the interim, we managed to fast track through. But, you know, first of all, why did something need to be airlifted in the first place? Like, that speaks towards the planning and the manufacturing systems. And then, like, what happens later on? Like, you know, in the future when things need to happen, like, it almost seems like a company that can't quite function at peak capacity or even maybe even properly without Elon in the mix somewhere, right? Like he's not too much of it goes through him and relies on him and is not actually, there isn't the team in place being built up to be more autonomous where he can be like a hands-off CEO.
Yeah, I think that's a fair criticism. And I certainly believe that many of these issues may not have plagued a traditional automaker that had a team that had done this a lot before.
That's what did plague a lot of the traditional automakers until like the Japanese companies and Toyota came in with their methods, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess now certainly those folks spin up new production lines and you don't hear about them the same way we hear about Tesla having challenges. So, but what I would point to is Model S and X have been running relatively smoothly. I remember all the stuff that went on with Model X and ramping that up. Elon is not spending a lot of time on the Model X production line anymore. And they're producing at a relatively stable rate. And I think part of it is like, it is a machine and there are issues and process issues. And once those are solved, you repeat it every single day, every single hour, every few minutes, right? And so once those things are fixed and they do hit a new level of production and can sustain that, then like the probability of it regressing, it doesn't seem like there's a huge amount of risk there. So even if it does take Elon trying to move mountains and solving for inadequacies across the, you know, the planning process, even if you're granted that, it still doesn't change the fact, in my mind at least, that if they do continue at 5,000 and then are moving to 10,000, that at some point in the next year, he won't really be spending much time on the Model 3 production line, just like he does in S or X, and they will be able to produce cars at high quality at the same rate. And then he'll be on to the next big crisis. So I do agree.
Will we repeat all this for the Model Y?
Big question. Yeah, that'll be really interesting. Like, there's one train of thought. I'd be like, well, producing this many vehicles is fundamentally a lot harder than the Model S and X. And they really underestimated how different it would be. And there's another which says this team just really can't help themselves but make it complicated or something that makes it difficult for them to build these products, and that they won't be transfer learning into Model Y. But I don't know. Like, I tend to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it'll be interesting if, like, this new Shanghai factory that they're going to build, like, is that already designed? Like, it's not even going to be built for 2 years. So are they planning to use some new production system that they haven't used? Like, it's going to be really intriguing seeing these new lines come up for new cars in the next, you know, year and a half.
Yeah, I think the thing that I come back to is, like, he talks often about, like, you know, making the machine that makes the machine. And it almost seems like the trouble they're having is with the human analog to that, like making the team that makes the team in a way. And they're not quite able to either get the right humans or get the right, probably more likely to get the right processes and structures in place so that the humans can do what they need to do to make the machine that makes the machine. But yeah. Again, outside observer.
Right. And I do think one of the other things is, like, that they did with SNX was over time they reduced the amount of hours. And they talked about this in earnings calls, and we've talked about, they reduce the number of human hours that go into those cars to make them more efficient from a cost point of view and margin point of view. And so I would expect that there's a lot of overtime happening right now. We've heard reports that folks have been staying for 12-hour shifts instead of like 8-hour shifts or 10-hour shifts, that if they're air freighting materials over and pulling double time in different parts, that, like, they may be, like, these cars may not be the most, you know, cost effective and high margin. But if you can make all the subsystems produce that many vehicles in a week, you've done it. Like, you have actually done it. You've made 5,000 cars. And, like,
well, sort of, right?
Then, like, but then
you need your rate, right? Like, I can run a 100-yard dash a lot faster than I can run a marathon. Like, you can't just extrapolate the 100-yard time out to 26 miles.
Sure, but any individual part of the each individual substation doesn't care what's happened before. Like, the person who installs the steering wheel, the console, doesn't know what else has happened or how long it took. But if they can't put enough steering wheels in a quick enough tack time, there's no way they could produce that many vehicles in a time period. So
right.
It is a little different in that, like, it would be like saying, well, I can't move my foot fast enough. Like, it just literally will not get in front of my other foot. That will limit you from running anything, right? And so all these subsystems have to both be able to do their own capability at that rate. And then they all have to be able to do that capability together at that rate. And then they have to be able to do it in the cost constraints that make sense. And all I'm saying is that I think there may have been some pre-building or, you know, pre-caching of stuff in sort of pipeline. And yeah, really everything was ready to go for general assembly so that they could actually, like, you know, there was just more, you know, pipeline built up. Potentially. I don't have any reports of that, but it seems like that's plausible and would still fit within, like, the legal component of they built that many cars, but they just had more parts, like, ready to go and things, which is fine because, like, ultimately the general assembly has been the biggest bottleneck. So if general assembly was able to do it with all the parts ready to go so that it wouldn't, like, they were being tested, then there might be some other parts where the system can't fully meet that rate. And so the whole system gets slowed down, and then some other system gets slowed down, and then it just cascades. So this may have been a positive, perfect storm, but it at least shows there is the capability within the system. And it's so much different than it was 3 months ago, right? Because it's like triple what they were doing 3 months ago. So burst or steady state. So I think it's hard to deny that there hasn't been meaningful improvement. If they were only doing 20 or 30% more Model 3s this quarter, that would be a huge flop.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's as they start to. So one thing that you mentioned, and not to just, I guess since you're pretty bullish this time, I will play devil's advocate. But I think the one thing that would concern me also, or another thing that would concern me, when you mentioned like the S and the X, is those are kind of static products. They haven't really changed much, and their rate of production hasn't changed dramatically. And there's two different things with the Model 3. Both the rate will be increasing, right? They want to keep making more and more, so the line isn't just going to keep doing what it's doing. It needs to go faster. And then they're adding the dual motors, they're adding new things into it as well. So it's going to, you know, ideally those things should be able to be folded in or something. But if this is another issue where the team or the processes in place don't allow for problems to be solved where they need to be solved, then we could just have another, you know, adding the dual motor could cause another problem somewhere, another hiccup somewhere in the line. And is Elon going to need to come in again to start greenlighting the things that need to happen? Or have they actually fixed the manufacturing process so that it'll be able to like heal itself?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I do think you bring up a good point that they, if they're just now starting to be able to be consistent with the one major configuration they have, and now they're adding dual motor and performance and white interior and potentially, you know, other things that are changes on the line.
The roof, I do think, the glass roof is another one they're changing.
Yeah, so there may be, you know, and then eventually they're going to be adding in the different battery pack. And so, yeah, for the rest of this year, there are still chances where they come back and say on those quarterly earnings calls, GA3 is producing like the long range battery single motor. GA4 is on their performance ones, but it's behind because we've run into some issues with dual motor. I think one thing that's interesting is they seem to be prioritizing dual motor and performance right now to maximize the profit to the company.
Or to minimize the loss, I guess.
Yeah, sorry, yes. That's the other side of the half glass bowl. To minimize the loss. And as a result, we've heard they've already made 100 of the dual motors vehicles, performance ones. Those are going to be sent to the stores for test fleets. That potentially now is going to be when Elon's like focused on that, on this new GA4. Like I have a hunch because they were running the performance ones on GA4, that line is built for this so that the general assembly for the other one can be producing the mainline vehicle, the long range black interior. And then in the event that there's problems with dual motors, it won't fully stop Model 3 production. Like that seems reasonable to assume. So in that case, then the question is, if they actually get that other one, the 5,000, which they said it's close to, then the floor should be somewhere around 4,000 or 5,000. But I think at some point, they like the next thing is going to be logistics. Like you've always been mentioning, like getting that many parts in consistently every single week is different than having enough at the end of the quarter to do that. And then being able to deliver them to actually have the deliveries happen is going to be challenging. So they are entering in new areas where they just never been tested at this volume. So that it's going to be, I don't think we're done with the challenges for actually dealing with 5,000 vehicles a week from Model 3. But it does seem like they may... I think I'm willing to call them out of the woods for like multiple thousands per week production levels, like above 3,000.
But I would say certainly it seems like they've shipped 5,000 to 10,000 just in the Bay Area here recently.
Oh, yeah.
Because I see them. I mean, the Model 3 is all over the place now. I actually noticed earlier this week, I think on Monday, I was walking through and saw four in a row in a parking lot. Like, so there's a lot of Model 3s on the road right now.
Yeah, I was driving down to down I-5 and coming back on I-5, and I think I saw nine car carriers just of Model 3s
in
one trip coming back, and that was on the 4th of July. So Tesla, on the 4th...
Are they Tesla semis?
No. On the 4th of July, there were nine cargo semis with 8 to 9 vehicles of Model 3s coming south, so heading towards L.A. from Palo Alto, or Fremont, rather. So... they are shipping out vehicles. There's no doubt there are Model 3s actually being delivered. Like the conspiracy theories who are saying there are no Model 3s are totally wrong. Like they just need to come to Palo Alto and
You have no choice to ship them out at that point, right? If your manufacturing lines are churning them out, you're gonna start piling up cars at the end, right? You have to get them out.
They published a video of like their staging lot and what it was looking like, and just like all the vehicles being moved forward and going onto the semis and getting taken off. Like it's kind of
was that the drone one where the security guard threw the camera at the drone?
No, that was a different one. Tesla one. Yeah. Tesla approved this one and sent this one out. It was sort of a like maybe 10 or 15 feet in the air, kind of stick camera. But
One of our friends brought up a good point that their security at the tent is pretty lax, and if you wanted to do a little industrial espionage, you can just fly the drone really quickly right through that tent.
Yeah, it seems
maybe there's like radio jammers or something, but I don't know.
I can't believe, like, wouldn't you be kind of nervous about, like, dust and stuff getting into your car? Like,
totally,
if it's, like, not closed in. Like, even if it's, like, sound from a, like wind and rain situation. It's still open air. Like,
well, and this time, so interestingly, I think when most people hear that we've built a tent in the parking lot and we're working in the tent, most people probably think, wow, it's going to be rough in the winter. But actually, in this area, it's the summer you have to worry about. Like Fremont, you're hitting triple digits. This past week has been triple digits like multiple days. And that seems like that it's got to be hard to do any sort of climate control in there.
Yeah, I think the most you could do would be fans, but you could, I mean, it's not going to do that much. So
maybe the fans that also spray the water like they have on the sidelines of football games.
Yeah, but then you're going to get water in the vehicle.
That's true. Like, yeah, you've just got other problems now. You're
going to have problems. But I do think this is going to be a really interesting quarterly call. And I, because they also, it's sort of unusual, but they reaffirmed in the deliveries report that, and I quote, "We also reaffirm our guidance for positive GAAP net income and cash flow in Q3 and Q4, despite negative pressures from a weaker U.S. dollar and higher tariffs for vehicles imported into China." So Elon said this again at the shareholder meeting, and now they're putting it in a formal document again that they believe they're going to be both net income and cash flow positive in Q3 and Q4. Like, this is that's a pretty serious statement. So I think this is them really trying to reiterate that Model 3 is both, they have a lot of visibility into how many cars are going to be delivered, because that's what matters to whether or not they can book the revenue, that they feel like they have enough. I mean, they still have over 400,000 reservations. They also updated us on that, that even given how long it's been and how many Model 3s have already been consumed, that they still have 400,000 plus reservations. And so they believe that even in Q4, they're going to be able to sell enough of them. Because one of the other complaints is, well, maybe they just won't actually be able to produce, like, maybe they could produce 5,000 or 6,000 a week, but is there really 5,000 or 6,000 a week demand? Like, what happens if it's really just 50,000 Uber fans and then like they run out? So Tesla seems to be signaling they don't believe that's the case, because otherwise they would run out a lot sooner. And I just sort of am really curious to see the impact of this dual motor and performance, because it increases the price from base of 49,000 to, if you get dual motor, it's another 4,000 to 53. And if you want performance, an extra 15,000. And that's not accounting for any other options. So the dual motor performance is not $15,000 more cost, for sure. It's not even $7,000 more cost. Like, it's going to be much higher margin.
Yeah, it's interesting that I've watched a bunch of reviews on YouTube and read some reviews of the Model 3 from all different kinds of outlets, and they're almost all universally positive that, you know, it's a great car, it's fun to drive, but they almost all point out that Tesla's marketing about it being the $35,000 like electric car for the masses is not currently true, that the one they're selling is a lot more expensive than that, and it sounds like the next versions that are coming out are even going to be even more expensive, and that the demand for the low cost one won't be met for quite some time.
Yeah, the current target from Elon is that they will start doing this production of the standard battery before the end of this year, but that it's unlikely many people will get it at the end of this year. So the beginning of 2019 for standard battery, and that would be that $35,000 one.
Yeah, so maybe that's like they're counting on being able to sort of unlock those lower levels at some point, where there's just going to be the demand that's just going to wait until the price gets low enough.
Yeah, I think it really is going to come down to, are they reliably making 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 maybe a week, and then they can get to the 10,000 with a pretty big amount of standard range batteries, or just start shifting some of it to the standard. Certainly, I think their other strategy, which is, you know, slightly dark pattern, is there are some people who probably want the $35,000 vehicle but can't afford the dual motor, and people who are getting or the single motor, and people who could afford the single motor but want white interior who are getting performance, and even more people who are getting antsy and maybe are nervous about the tax credit and are just going to pull the trigger for dual motor and performance, because they don't really see a line of sight to the single motor, like the the short range battery, the $35,000 vehicle. So they've opened up reservations to everyone now. And only, I think, 2 days ago, they opened up so that you can just go to Tesla.com right now and design your Model 3, Mike. You don't even need a reservation. So
oh, really?
They've completely opened it up. And I think the main reason is not that there are a lack of reservations, like some people are saying. I think it really is to say, of anyone who wants performance, come one, come all, we want you to place your performance Model 3 because we want to serve that right now.
Okay, so they're saying that the reservation holders, the demand, or they've met the demand for the current models they have out of the reservation queue, and that most of the reservations are waiting for something else.
I think it's partly that, and it's saying if anyone else wants only the high spec one, we want to serve you first ahead of anyone in the reservation pool who's waiting for single. Or like a short range, rather.
Gotcha.
That there might be someone who's like, well, I want a performance Model 3. That'd be great, but I didn't put down a reservation, so it's going to take me. There's 500,000 reservations. I can't get one.
Man, this is like when you sign up for you've got your cell phone service, and they've got this killer new deal, but you have to be a new customer to get it, and it's not eligible for old customers. Like, just not feeling special.
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting couple weeks and months because they've also opened up the test drives in some of the stores here in the Bay Area, and they're going to be adding more. I'd be really excited to go test drive the Performance Model 3 because it will also most likely have the white interior, so I get to see that in person. So we might have to do that. And the dual motor Performance Model 3 takes the 0-60 from 5.1 seconds all the way down to 3.5. So pretty quick.
That's just silly. Have they done any, with all these numbers coming out, have they said anything about they talk a lot about the Model 3s going out, but do they say anything about how many of them are coming back? Like, what is the quality of these vehicles? Like, is there any sort of stats on how often they have to go back in for repairs or what their failure rate is?
The last we saw was, I think in one of the last earnings calls, there was a chart around that now Model 3s have less issues than when they first started. But that was it. It was sort of a Jeff Bezos no axes labeled chart.
Yeah.
and we weren't even sure exactly how to interpret it because the Y axes didn't really correlate to each other in a good way. So we haven't seen that. So I think what a good indication of that will be is to look in the service revenue and costs to see, and as well as see how the warranty amounts they've booked for the Model 3, if they have to adjust those. Because they would potentially have to call that out in their earnings that they are going to be booking more cost for repairs on each vehicle. But they may try and just sort of hide that away and say, well, the margin on those first ones were pretty terrible. Don't worry about it. They allotted for a really big warranty on those first vehicles. And now the new ones hopefully are higher quality. And so they don't have to have as big of a reserve for the warranty because it goes into the COGS. So I'm not sure we're actually going to get a good number on that unless something really bad happens and they need a big recall or something. I think they're probably not going to mention that. So we know we've had friends who've had some issues and bigger issues. And so even vehicles in the 10,000 VINs have had some pretty interesting challenges that would not be acceptable to most people. So they're now in the 40s and 50,000 VIN numbers. So it's possible they've improved that quality even more, but I don't know, actually. I don't have a Model 3 yet, so we haven't gotten a lot of reports from folks who have had, like, no issues or people who've had lots of issues, so I don't think we have a good representative sample. So only Tesla knows the service issues right now, but anecdotally, going to the service centers, there are a lot of Model 3s there, but there are also S's and X's, so it's hard to tell.
All right, TBD.
TBD. So we'll talk again soon, Mike. I want to thank again the Tesla geeks. If you're planning to buy a Model S or X and want to get free supercharging, you can use a referral code that's in the show notes, and that really helps us out because it'll get us invites to the Model Y event in March of next year and other events that might be happening. And special Tesla privileges. So that's really helpful. And if people want to get in touch with us, Mike, how can they do that?
As always, you can tweet at us. We are on twitter.com. Our screen name is @TheTeslaShow. We have our own website on the World Wide Web at theteslashow.com, where you can listen to all of our episodes. You can leave comments. You can I guess our drinks aren't there. Our drink list is on our subreddit at r/thetesla show on reddit.com, where you can chat about the episodes and access the drink spreadsheet, which is in the sidebar, if you would like to drink along as you listen.
Awesome. Well, with that, I'll talk to you soon, Mike.
All right. Bye.
Bye.